If you haven't found it yet, turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Hallelujah. I really struggle not using this title. It's been so used, especially by the late Dr. Martin Luther King. But as I began to study those words and found out where he borrowed them from and the spiritual that he lifted them from and used so eloquently, I realized, and I thank you for that testimony there, Brian, that I don't think we understand sometimes, I know I don't, just how free I am. I don't think I understand the depth of what Christ has done. Long time ago, long before I was a Christian, or about the same time I became a Christian actually, God put his hand upon a man by the name of Damas Shakarian. I may not be pronouncing his name correctly. Damas Shakarian was a man, a businessman who loved the Lord with his whole heart, and he had an amazing experience, if you will, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Damas Shakarian was so enthused with his newfound freedom, he began to seek out other businessmen who had a Christian background and began to preach to them and teach to them and encourage them to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Back in the 1970s, there was a move of God. Some people call it a revival. Some people only call it a renewal. Some people won't even speak of it. It was called the Charismatic Renewal. And in those years, of which I became a Christian during those times, God was pouring out His Spirit just in a powerful, powerful way. You couldn't walk into a church, a Spirit-filled church, without getting prophesied over you. There was people raising from the dead. Sicknesses were leaving. It was an amazing time to be alive and an amazing time to be born again in the power of God. During this time, Damas Shakarian began a little thing called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. And I was thinking about this over the last week, there was a time, except for the little church we were in, we couldn't find anybody preaching about the Holy Ghost. And almost every Saturday morning or every other Saturday morning, whenever there was a full gospel businessman meeting anywhere within driving distance, we were there. We just so wanted to hear about the power of the Holy Spirit. We so wanted to know so much more about it. Well, during those years, Mr. Shakarian wrote himself a book. And I believe the name of it was called The Happiest People on Earth. And in that book, he extolled and explored the whole idea of the happiness that comes from being free in Christ. Damas Shakarian and many other people who began in that movement found out what Jesus meant when he says that if you're free, you're free indeed. You know, there's a lot of freedom that we miss out in Christianity and maybe even just take for granted more than miss out on it. We forget that we're free to have fun. We're free to have joy in our lives. We can actually smile. There's no law against it. You don't have to have a, you know, down south, did you ever see a persimmon? Okay. A persimmon is a tiny little fruit, and I can't imagine how God put that much sour in one little fruit. But most people, when they become born again, they walk around looking like they've been chewing on a persimmon. All ugly and all sanctimonious. We are allowed to have fun. Let's strike that. We are commanded to have fun, to enjoy ourselves, to enjoy our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I found out, and I'm sure you know this too, that of all the many reasons for happiness, perhaps the foundational one is we're now free. Hallelujah. We are free to be what God called us to be. We are free to be happy. We're free to be to explore. We're free. We are not bound any longer. We are no longer bound by the law of sin and death. We are no longer in a position where we have no choice. We have to do the bad thing. We are free to stand up and be different. We're free to enjoy our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I always make these comparisons, and I'm going to make another one today. When I look at the world, meaning the not yet believers, I picked that up from an author. I like that expression. You don't call them unsaved, you call them the not yet believers. When you look at folks who have not yet turned their life over to Christ, hallelujah, I see a long list of possible bondages. People are bound to habits, bound to addictions, bound to emotions, bound to a lot of things. But I expect to see that in the unregenerated. It bothers me when I look at myself and others in the church and I see the same bondage. I see we're bound to the same habits. We're bound to the same emotions. We're bound to the same things. Then I read the scriptures. Maybe that's why we're supposed to read the scriptures. And I read the scriptures, Brother Dave, and I find out that I'm free. Hallelujah. You know, those who are outside the church or outside the grace of God or however you want to put that thing without insulting everybody seem to look at us many times. I've had people tell me this, Brother Brian. Oh, you're just in bondage to religion. Let's talk about that for a moment. Hallelujah. You see, I am not bound. I am not restricted by religion. I'm set free by my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's not that I can't do things. It's just that I don't have to. Now I'm going to mess with your theological bubble there for a moment, but that's okay. That thing needs to pop once in a while anyway. We are not, hallelujah, the poor children of God that have to walk around so sad because I just can't have fun anymore. I got to go to that church and I got to give my money. And here's the deal. I don't have to go to church. I choose to go to church. I don't have to give my money. I choose to give my money. Hallelujah. The things I used to do. I heard a preacher say it one time. Y'all know him. I won't name him. But I heard a preacher say one time that God didn't take nothing away from me. I just was able to get rid of some stuff. The stuff I used to do, the bondages, the addictions, I don't have to do that anymore. Hallelujah to God. Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, chapter 5, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Hallelujah. There's a joke that goes with that, but it's a lame joke, so I'll leave it alone. Verse 13 gives us an opening here that you just can't ignore. For you, brethren, somebody want to tell me who he was writing to? Oh, he must have been preaching out the door there and talking to someone else, someone who doesn't know Jesus. It had to have been No, he's talking to the born-again, Spirit-filled children of God. He says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. There's not a period there, but I'm going to rest anyway. We have been called to be free. Anybody hear of a word called destiny? The word called and destiny are synonymous terms when you're reading through Scripture. If you're called to be something, you're destined to be something. The destiny, according to the Bible, was written before the foundation of the world was laid. So your destiny has been written for a long, long time. There are some people who are called to do certain things, but all of us are called to do some specific things. Everybody who believes in Christ, everyone who gives their hearts over to Christ, you have a calling in your life to be free, not bound, but free to make choices, free to have some fun, free to help others with the love of Christ that you've received. Does that make sense to anybody? Hallelujah. I remember a long time ago, Marilyn and I were putting together a collage for Lucius's service next week. And there was some pictures of there of Camp LaGuardia. That takes me back a long, long ways, maybe to a place I don't necessarily want to go back to. But I remember I worked in a place called Camp LaGuardia, and it was a place for homeless, drunken, down on your luck, you name it. It was a shelter. And these fellows were bussed in once a week, and there was about 1,000 of them there at any one time that would normally be on the Bowery of New York City. Well, they were in Camp LaGuardia. They all had a lot of issues. They all had a lot of bondages. And this one man came to me when he found out that I was born again. And he made it his life's work for the next couple of months anyway to attack me on a daily basis. Anything he could think of, anything. And the biggest thing he kept coming up was how I was in bondage. Well, one day I just plain had enough. Hallelujah. You know what happens when you had enough? You do something about it. And this guy, he wouldn't attack me privately. He'd do it publicly to try to infuriate me, embarrass me, whatever. And he came up to me one day and he started this bondage stuff. And finally, like I said, I had enough. I said, okay, here's the deal. I challenge you in your freedom.
What do you mean?
So if you're so free, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that card table, move it over here. Put a chair on either side of it. And I want you to put on that card table a fifth of whiskey, bottle of wine, a couple of rows of cocaine, a bag of dope, anything else you can think. I want you to put it on that table. And I'm going to sit in one of those chairs and you sit on the other. And I'm going to stare you down and show you that I am so free, I no longer have to pick up any of those substances. But I will guarantee you that you're so bound, you will. Man, quit bugging me after that. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you got to be able to use your freedom to help others be free. Last week I talked about a bumper sticker, which I won't talk about again. not in public anyway. I realize how many times I used that word, and I better not do it again. But there's another bumper sticker. As a matter of fact, my friend John has it on his truck. He's trying to figure out how to get it off and put on his new truck. Yeah. And it says, freedom, it's not free. Hallelujah. Our freedom is not free. It came through the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But with that sacrifice, we have been set free from the need to go to the temple and slay a lamb or a bull or a pigeon or whatever. The blood sacrifice of Jesus has set us free from the do's and the don'ts. But now, I've said that. Let me read what else Paul wrote. Hallelujah. There is a danger, grave danger, in reading part of the scripture. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh, the unregenerated part of you, and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. Paul said you're free, but you're not free to do anything you want. You're not free to embarrass the name of Jesus. We're not free to live in a way that is contrary to the one who set us free. Hallelujah. We are told to use our freedom and the love of that freedom to serve one another. We have been looking through the New Testament. What is the church? Who is the church? What does it look like? What's it supposed to do? We've been trying to find a definition. We've come to a few conclusions. We've come to the conclusion the church is multifaceted. You're the church. Together, we're the church. There's an individual church. There's a corporate church. There's a church worldwide. The world church is multifaceted, but all has to do with people being called out from amongst them, being separate, and God receiving them as sons and daughters. Those who have had that experience, the brethren, are to use the love, the freedom that God has given us for the good of everyone else. Hallelujah. What's the church? The church should be a free place. The church should be a place of, not of bondage, but of freedom. Let me put it this way. My freedom goes like this. I'm free not to fill in the blanks. I'm free not to smoke, drink, or chew, or hang around with them that do. You have to have lived down south for a while to pick up on that one. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher preach one time, says, you know, we all think that Christianity means you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't chew. You know what, that chair you're sitting on won't either, but it's not going to heaven with you. It's not a matter of what you do and don't do. It's a freedom to choose and say, I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. You've heard my testimony, so I won't bore you with it. But when I came to the Lord, I was so hurt. I was so conflicted. I was a mess. And people say, well, your problem was that you were on drugs. No, I was on drugs because of my problems. But when I became a Christian, instantaneously, God began a process in me that began to heal me of the hurts, began to heal me of all the reasons I turned to, here's a good word for you, self-medication. Hallelujah. I'm not going to mock the psychiatric world because I work in it. But I hear some things that are just like, you got to be kidding me. Self-medication. No, man, you're stoned. But I'm free. I don't have a God with a baseball bat saying, George, don't you dare pick up that cigarette again. I'm free. I don't have to anymore. Don't you dare pick up that bag of dope anymore. I'm free. I don't need to anymore. I've been set free by the power, the love, and the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to use that freedom to become selfish. You know the difference between the world and the church, supposedly? The level of selfishness. We should be becoming selfless rather than selfish. Oh, hallelujah. For the whole law concerning human relationships, let me rest just for a second. If you like to do this when you go home, go to the book of Exodus. Check out the Ten Commandments. You may find something you've never seen before. There are more commandments about personal relationships than there are godly relationships in that list of ten. You think maybe it was important to God? We are to use the freedom concerning our human relationships, the whole law being fulfilled, complied with, that's another word I use a lot, in this one precept, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What's that got to do with freedom? Absolutely everything. We are now free to love one another. We are now free to love without worrying about being hurt. I don't think there's anyone's ever loved and not been hurt. But I'm free in Christ now that I don't have to worry about that because I can go on with God. And if I do get hurt, He's going to take care of it. Is anyone out there? God knows how to take care of our emotions as well as our physical needs. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, but in one bite. But if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife. I read that and said, my God, that sounds like our Congress. Anyway. Be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. I read this thing out of Amplified, and the King James is going through my mind. I have to keep. We're told that we are free, that we no longer have to gossip. See, now I'm going to go someplace now that I'm going to quit preaching and start meddling. See, when you talk to a bunch of people who's already given up certain habits, they go, yeah, amen. Amen, yeah, preach on that. Then you start talking about emotional issues. Then you start talking about the backstabbing. Yeah, I got to tell you right now, that is not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know there are speaking gifts, there's tongues, interpretation, backstabbing, gossip. No? Okay. Just checking. But you wouldn't know that if you hung around with a lot of Christian folk. We are set free that we no longer have to lift ourselves up by putting other people down. I want you to think about that. Most of the time when we put other people down, we're trying to increase our own stature in our own or someone else's eyes. We are free. You know what? I got a chance. It felt so good several months ago now. To tell a person who was making my life miserable, I really don't care what you think about me. I'm done trying to please you. I don't know if that was the right way, but you know what? It was liberating. I'm totally set free that I don't have to please someone looking at me or talking to me or whatever, because I know that I'm accepted by God. We had a good discussion Thursday night, something I've been trying to get through on the pulpit for a while, and I heard it come back at me, and I was so pleased. There's two parts of us, at least two parts of us. I was thinking of it when you were singing that one song about coming unto Jesus, into His arms, and so forth. There is a very emotional side of relationships. And you know, I'm all for the emotions. I'm all for the touchy, feely, fuzzy. I love it all. But there are times I don't feel touchy, warm, and fuzzy. There are times I don't even feel saved sometimes. Now, y'all can judge me or you can say amen. There are times I look at myself and say, you know, this cannot be the work of God. The stuff that comes out of me, the things that I say and think. But when I'm not feeling it, thank God He gave me a brain. Because I can remember what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God tells me I am a child of God. The Word of God tells me there's one who will not leave me. He will not forsake me. There's one who will stay closer than a brother. And when I'm not feeling it, I can think it and know it. Now, I got a little bit of news for you here. Brother, you're studying this kind of stuff. And forgive me if you think this is all psychology. Well, I want to tell you something about the way God made you. That's theology. You cannot have a thought without a feeling. And you never had a feeling that didn't start with a thought. God has put us together. Have you studied CBT yet? Cognitive behavior? Yeah. I think you already know this, but it's in the book of Proverbs. As a man thinks, so he is. Hallelujah. You can't separate the things. We have been set free in such a manner that we can choose to believe what God says about us. And if we can believe what God says about us, our own opinions or feelings can begin to take a second place. It can begin to conform. We're told by the Word of God, our minds must be transformed, changed. We need to think like God. Guess what? The brain of God, the mind of God, we have a brain. Freedom. Is this fine? Really? Maybe we can buy your batteries. It's only 1 week old. Hallelujah. We have been free by God that we can choose to believe His Word. His Word says a whole lot more better things about me. I might.
We can be free. We can be free. We can be free to walk in the freedom of Christ. We can even be free
to treat others the way Christ treated us. That's real freedom. That's real freedom. Hallelujah. The promises of God normally come with a warning. This is no exception. We're told we have all this freedom, but there's a warning in verse 15. It says, but if you bite and devour, be careful you don't be consumed. Hallelujah. I said before, I expect to see certain things in the world. I don't think we should see the same things in the church. We need to be different. We need to be different. There's a, I don't know what it is. People are afraid or embarrassed. We're afraid to stand up and be different. You are different. Within you is the power, glory, and love of God. You are different by that very presence. You are different. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about holier than thou and putting everyone down. I just forget that. I'm talking about walking in a love, walking in a forgiving, understanding, willing to accept people way. Oh, hallelujah. I got to move on. Be careful we don't bite and devour. And I'm going to skip real quick, if you will go with me, to Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. Like Brother Brian said, he says, you know, the whole book. You got to read and assimilate the whole book of Galatians. I'm going to switch over to the New Living Translation of this. Galatians 6, chapter 1 and 2. Brethren, there you go, the church, the believers. If any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, someone say any sort. Hallelujah. We tend to want to pick and choose who we forgive. We pick and choose who we want to give our forgiveness to. It's an amazing thing about grace. We all want it and we don't want to give it. Just got to say that. In misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. Why do you think I was talking about the Holy Spirit in the beginning of this? We are supposed to be born again. We are supposed to be Spirit-filled people. We need to be controlled by the Spirit. We should set Him right and restore and reinstate Him. By the way, the Him there is not gender-specific. It can be him or her. Without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. I'm going to stop for a second. We have been given a freedom. We have been called to be free. And in that freedom, we're supposed to use it to love one another. Paul takes us to the ultimate degree here. He says, now that love needs to be taken to a place where you can look at a person in the midst of the church who has done wrong and sinned against God and say, you are forgiven. Let me help you. Let me love you. Let me reinstate you to your former place in God. For so many years, I've heard this terrible, terrible judgment against the church. What makes it terrible is it tends to be right. So the church is the only army that buries its wounded. What's the church supposed to be? It's supposed to be a place of freedom. A place where we're free not to do what our lives taught us to do, our lives before Christ. That's what I like to call BC. My life BC, before Christ, before Christianity. Hallelujah. I'm free not to be drugged down by that. I'm free not to be drugged back to that. I'm free that I don't have to do those things. Hallelujah. I'm free not to smoke, not to drink. I'm free not to curse and cuss. I'm free not to watch pornography. I'm free not to lie. I'm free to not to do all those things. It's my choice and my relationship with God how that works out. But I'm free. You get, can I help you with something here? Before we became Christians, we didn't necessarily have that choice because we were under the law of the spirit of death. Are you out there? We did things because that's what we did. That's what we did in our fleshly human nature, our carnal nature, as it's called. But once we became Christian, the law of sin and death was broken over us. Now we're free not to do those things. And we are now also free to do the good things. The Bible says that Jesus went around doing things that were good. The apostle says that we're saved to do good works. Now, don't get confused here. I'm not talking about working out your salvation and earning it. I'm talking about doing something with it once you have it. Hallelujah. One of the things the church needs to be, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church worldwide, the church individual, the church corporate, the church needs to be, is forgiving and understanding. Oh, hallelujah. We seem to run a gambit where everything is okay or nothing is okay. Hallelujah. Left to our own devices, we're going to take one camp or the other.
Well, it really doesn't matter what they do as long as they come to church and give their tithe.
Or,
turning my back on you, I'm going to shun you.
We got to kind of look here and say, okay, where do we find the line? Where's the benchmark?
Y'all know what a benchmark is? Is when you're measuring something, there's got to be one point that never changes. Okay? If I know what the benchmark is, you give me the measurements of anything, a piece of furniture. I can recreate that piece of furniture because I have the dimensions, but more importantly, I have a benchmark. Our benchmark must be the Word of God. Our benchmark must be the truth of God. Hallelujah. We as the church need to, and I'm going to carry on now from, we need to bear, endure, and or carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. Hallelujah. There are some sins that are more embarrassing to the church than others. You hear that quietness? See, we'll look at somebody who does something that's obvious, and we may want to point a finger or judge, but just pointing your finger and judging that person is just as bad as whatever they did. But it doesn't show. We cover under holiness, righteousness. Well, I can't allow that to happen. You know, I really think the church needs to come back to the Word of God and realize that Christianity is meant to be a freeing experience. Not just for those of us who are, quote, quote, in the way. There's a joke about that, too. Hallelujah. Most of us can't let God move because we're in the way. But those of us who are following after Christ, we have to be able to be accepting and loving and being able to restore. How many have read from the
from the writings of Paul to the 2 Corinthians, starting off in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It said, you are called to comfort with the comfort wherewith you have received. There's not a single person sitting in a seat today or listening on that internet or any place else that deserves the blood of Jesus Christ. You were so good that you just can walk right into heaven. We all have a history. We all have luggage. We all have sin. I got people, I don't have sin. Well, let's start with your denial and work from there. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have been set free. And then we dare look back on someone who has not been set free in an area yet and say, how could they do that? Well, how could I do what I did before God dealt with that part of my life? Hallelujah. I'm going to say something dangerous from my position. There are things in my life you wouldn't even believe what's in my life. And you know what? I'm free anyway. And God is working on those things. He's working on those. I won't repeat it here in our Bible study. I brought up something happened a couple of weeks ago, and something came roaring out of me that I was sure did not exist. If you had given me a lie detector test and tortured me and waterboarded me, I'll tell you right now, I don't have that problem. Something came up and boom, there it was. I guess I do have that problem. But you know the good thing of it is, I'm free. I'm free to take that problem that popped out in the most unlikely way, to take it back to God and say, God, help. Hallelujah. I am free to take my sins from my saved life, to God and ask for forgiveness and deliverance and healing. And God can do His wonderful work in me and make that part of life, my life sanctified. Take it away. Heal it. Deliver me. And everyone in the church should say, amen, that's right, brother. Well, what about the person who does something that's a little more public? Hallelujah. What about, I don't know if I should say this or not. I better not. What about if someone has committed a sin and everyone can see your sin? Everyone can see the result of your sin. And everyone points a finger. Oh, I know what you did. Yeah, well, I can only imagine what you did. We as Christians are free, not only from our past, but we need to be free to set other people free from their situations. Am I making any sense? Hallelujah. I gave up on notes a long time ago with this thing. Hallelujah. We are free to bear. I want to talk about that for half a second here. To endure. To carry. Can I say something that sounds like you may sound funny or unkind, but I think if you dig deep inside of yourself, you'd have to agree with it. The word endure also means to put up with. I probably don't have to say the rest, do I? I thank many of you, most of you, all of you, that you endure me. You have to put up with people. 3 years, you've never had an argument. Man, you have got this endure thing down pat. I praise God. I'm going to ask you guys to lay hands on me before you leave here today. Hallelujah. Part of, help me, Lord, part of Christianity is putting up with each other. Are you out there putting up with each other? My wife and I have been married 30... I'm in trouble. Plus years. I know it's not quite 40, but we're getting close. There's folks that have been married a long time. There's folks who have been... You know, here's the thing. The reason you stay with somebody, for you, it's been 3 years. God bless you. 30 more, you catch up to us. The reason we stay together is not because we are perfectly mated, not because we're perfectly put together, matched up. You'd be surprised the arguments we have and the silence that sometimes is in our home. Hallelujah, because we're afraid to open our mouths because we would probably bite and devour one another. But we stay together because we love one another. Hallelujah. Does she have faults? You ask her. I'm going home with her this afternoon. This is how we've stayed married 30 plus years. Do I have faults? Ask her. She'll tell you. We all have our faults. Thank you for that. We all have faults. But we don't have to publish them. We don't have to keep reminding each other of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people in our midst, not here today, but I'm still not going to talk about the whole thing, who have made certain choices and their sin became obvious quickly. There are others who left this church because I wouldn't chastise them publicly. I am real glad that my sins are more private. I'm real glad that you can't see my sins. Well, occasionally they slip out and you see them. But most of my sins are deep issues. I can cover anger most of the time. Hallelujah. I'm really glad that I don't have to have my sins prayed before public and rebuked openly. Hallelujah. School's going to start in a couple of weeks. And all the parents went, amen. And all the kids that I deal with go, amen, I'll get out of this house. I walk down the halls of these schools, and they got these things, they call them bulletin boards. And I'm quite convinced that they are some of the cruelest things they have in the school system. They will take your work, and they will put it on the bulletin board for all the world to see. Some of them poor little critters should not have their work put on that board. It's embarrassing. And if you ask the child, they'll tell you the same thing. They're embarrassed. Imagine if you would. I'm borrowing this from the late Jack Brand. He preached this one time, and it just broke my heart. Imagine if you can or would, if your secret sins were hung on the bulletin board of life, and everyone came in on open house day and said, gee, look what George did. Wow, look at that one. Look at that one. I'm really glad God keeps that private. Because God endures me. He carries me. He puts up with me. And we're supposed to do the same thing. I'm grieved. Let that part go. I'm grieved when other people just can't seem to give the same grace that they've received. Hallelujah. We bear one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. Do I really need to preach that? Do I really need to? What is a troublesome moral fault? Let your mind run wild. That's long enough. Hallelujah. Our job as a church, our job as God's ecclesia, the called out ones, is to bear one another's troublesome moral faults. And in this way, what way? Bearing others' burdens. And in this way, fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. Hallelujah. We're free. We're free. If you lived in the era that I did or know anything of history at all, you'd be familiar with the name Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a great orator. Some of his speeches are practically immortal. Martin Luther King lifted many words from many places and used them over and over again until they almost became like they were his. In one of his speeches, in many of his speeches, he used the following phraseology. Okay, that was this phraseology, but push a button for me there, Mary Lee. I'm stuck. There it is. A man by the name of J.W. Work wrote a spiritual. Now, I didn't write it all down because the spiritual has to do with life after death. But it starts off with, free at last, free at last. I thank God I'm free at last. And as Martin Luther King put it in his last speech, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. We, if I can draw this simile, we were slaves to sin. Sin was our taskmaster. We did what the law of sin wanted us to do. It's that simple. But now, because of the blood of Jesus, now because of the Father's love for us, we can now sing this song that I'm free at last. I'm free at last. I thank God I'm free at last. I don't have to do what I used to do, and I don't have to be what I used to be. See, this is a message of freedom that the church of Jesus Christ needs to bring forth to the world around us. We are free. I am not in bondage to religion. I'm not in bondage to legalism. I'm free at last because God Almighty shed His love through His Son on Calvary, shed His blood, that I could be free and make the choice and say, you know what? I just don't have to do that anymore. Glory unto God. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been tracking myself. When I preach without notes, I preach shorter. Y'all be careful. Bring the notes back out. We're going long service again. Hallelujah. I don't know if anyone here has ever been incarcerated, institutionalized, or in a situation where you just couldn't be yourself. Your freedoms were taken away. You couldn't take a breath without asking permission. Some people were abused and controlled, and that's what we came from. Sin did that to us. Sin was our taskmaster. We did what the law of sin and death told us to do. I have to laugh. No, I have to cry. When I hear people say, oh, I don't need God, I'm a master of my own destiny. You poor, poor thing. Because you're not the master of your own destiny. You're the master of one law or the other. You're the master of the law of sin and death. Excuse me, you're the servant of sin and death. Or you're the servant of the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you today. I want you encouraged to act like a free person. Depending how long you were incarcerated and how long you were held by your emotions or whatever, that may be a little difficult to do. We have certain habits. We have certain things that we just do because we're used to doing them. But when we finally realize that we're free, you're free not to do the things that were destroying you. You're free to be in charge, if you will. I don't like that word. You're free to make the choice. There we go. To do the right thing. I would hate to think in my life that I would miss out on the freedom that I was promised simply because I was afraid of what someone might say about me being free while they're still locked up. And yet, somehow the church does it. But as Mr. J.W. Work wrote in his song, I'm free at last. I'm free at last. I thank God I'm free at last. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd make known to us the reality, the depth of the freedom that you have provided for us. I pray, Father God, we would no longer walk, hallelujah, as if we had no joy, that we would no longer walk as if we had to do things wrong, that we could walk in a fashion that says, I am free. I am free from what I used to do and what I used to be. Hallelujah. I don't have to do those things anymore. I can choose now to walk in a freedom that others are envious of. Father, help us today to understand that you have already made us free. And what we need to do now is use that freedom to live a life that others would like to live. I'm free not to do certain things. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Lord. May I walk in it. I want to end with a quote from a preacher, modern day preacher, T.D. Jakes. You've heard me say this before, but I want you to get this in your minds today. You may have done the things they say you have done, but you're not what they say you are. You're free today, and in Jesus' name I pray you'll walk in that freedom. I did everything they said I've done, but I'm not what I used to be because of Jesus. Father, as we leave this place, I pray, Lord God, that your power would go with us. I pray that the revelation of the freedom provided through your sacrifice would become a reality to us today, that we would walk like free men and women. We would live our lives like free men and women. That, Lord God, we would be free to act right, walk right, talk right, and do right. That, Lord, we are free to share our love of Jesus with those around us. And, Lord, we are free to be non-judgmental and non-condemning when someone falls. In Jesus' name, go in freedom. Go in peace. I prophesy health, wealth, prosperity. I pray the fullness of God to come upon you, stay upon you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.